Oh god, dashing, this is still Yo's is racist. Oh yeah,
you keep introing, I'm underscoring.
In this is Tawny just straight up said, "Put some jingle on it."
I believe I said, "Put some jingle in your voice."
Put some jingle on your voice.
Getting
so
jingle
where
with
I'm
it
mentally. I'm having trouble. Not thinking about where the jingle at.
No, the jingle. You have the jingle. You've brought the jingle. We're jingling all the way. This is the show, oh, Yo's is Racist. This is the racism podcast where we talk to you about racism with the help of a special guest or guests. I'm Tawny Newsom. That's Andrew T. And we have a holiday gift for you listeners. We have a present for you. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Happy everything. We are giving you the gift of probably one of our fan favorites, our fan favorite guests, top tier guest, top tier friend, top tier holiday party thrower, our first set of guests since we've gone independent. We thought, what better gift to give to ourselves?
Matt is technically like a guest, but he doesn't feel that way, and we understand. So these are the first real guests, our first honored guests. How about
exactly.
that?
How Mulan of you.
We would love to welcome to the pod on this holiday eve of sorts. We're welcoming Kulap Vilaysack and Su Chin Pak. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Yay! So happy to be back. You guys, I'm struggling with my headphones right now, as you probably have noticed. It occurred to me that I can hear you without my headphones. I was like, that's not right. And...
That's okay.
Just don't know why that is. So I'm messing with cords and hoping that this will help my situation.
Look, it's great.
I don't understand.
Good radio.
I don't get
this
it.
This is tight
like,
as
why?
Hell. We are loving this.
This
you,
makes me so happy.
Why?
There's no rush.
But this makes me so happy
because usually what Kulap is doing is what I'm doing.
I don't
understand. This is me every time we hit record.
This grand conjunction is...
I know.
Jupiter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we are recording on... What the fuck? It's the two planets are close to each other?
Jupiter and Saturn.
So we have a lot to talk about. Because it's called the conjunction. Oh. It's also called the Christmas star. It's also called the Negro solstice. But look, I want to give an official welcome to Su Chin. While Kulap struggles or thrives, depending on how you look at it.
It's struggling. It's definitely struggling.
Su Chin, this is your first time on the show. Thank you so much for being here. You and Kulap have a show called Add to Cart that is just delightful. One of my favorite things about it is to hear my old friend Kulap here talking with someone I don't know as well and to listen to the way that you kind of handle each other and like support each other. But there is like a little bit of handling that goes on between co-hosts. And I love like the different tones that the show can handle. You guys are lighthearted. You're fun. You get into serious topics. You search your hearts and souls. I just love it. And I feel like I know you, even though I don't. So, hi, other friend.
Well, you know what? I mean, that probably in the short time that we've done it is you probably know me better than 99.9% of the people in my life. It's something about sitting down with Kulap just in your own home in your PJs that... You know, I'm just not used to that. I'm used to the sort of like get in a, you know, padded blazer and look at a note card and go through interviews. You know, I'm not used to talking about, you know, peeing in a poise pad and, you know, what my kids are, you know, up to. So that was episode one. And we just went straight for it right at the gate. But yeah. And I love your the use of the word handling, because it is. I mean, while Kulap and I are friends, we're not like we haven't known each other a lifetime, so part of the fun is and part of the excitement and sometimes part of like the fear, you know, because there is some of that sometimes is getting to know each other on the podcast like in front of an audience. So far it's gone really well, and And my love and my respect for her has only just kind of just sunk in deeper and deeper. I mean, I'm sure you guys already, know that about her. So it's just been really fun. It's so much more, but it's also about serums and what we add to cart. But then it's also about all that other stuff, you know, about family and what we think about consumerism and how shitty our day is and how interesting 2020 has been. So it's all of that and more.
It's fantastic, and it's a welcome way to bring Koo back into the podcasting world. I couldn't believe listeners went for so long without a regular Koo fix in their life. I get to interact with her on a text thread, so I don't feel quite as much of a deficit. But for people who don't have Koo Up's phone number, it's very kind of you guys to do this podcast.
Guys, I want to give you an update.
Problems? Are you better?
Hello. Finally. Oh, okay, yeah. Now it's right now. See? Thank you. I'm sorry, everyone. This was wild. What a wild ride.
It's all right.
First, truly no problem. And second of all, there was a moment where you got up and your chair was sort of slowly spinning around on the Zoom, and it looked very much like a very like Looney Tunes, like there was like a Kulop shaped hole in your wall.
There's a cloud of smoke behind you.
Like, I'm out.
Guys, I can't do this. These two planets are colliding on this podcast. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna lose all my relationships on this podcast.
Hell yeah.
No. Untrue. You're gaining them. You're strengthening them.
Oh, good. Good, good.
We're so excited. I know the listeners are going to be like very pumped to have you in whatever shape you're in. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, who cares?
Thank you.
That's the beauty of being independent, baby. We don't answer to anybody. So,
I mean, you know. Yeah. I love that. I love that. I love what you guys are doing. This is so exciting. And it's like, of course, you guys, like, you guys went independent. That's right. Everything's right about this.
Gotta do our own thing.
Yes.
It's been really great and really fun and surprisingly doable.
Yeah.
It feels like it works. I don't know.
Well, having help from folks like you, Song, has been great, because I thought that it was going to be like a tech nightmare, and I thought I was going to have like DMs from people being like, where's the feed and how come it's at half speed and blah, blah, blah. But truly, there have been zero problems. And that is unheard of, and I almost think someone's playing a trick on me.
Mm-hmm. No, oh, we are. I mean, we'll get you. Okay.
Is this elaborate? That they didn't tell me because they know mouth of the south.
Yeah, this is ultimately it's sort of a punked situation. Wait, actually, Suchet, off what you were just saying, though, I realized since I started having a podcast, all of my new friends are from a podcast. Like, it's real sad, but pretty much if I meet someone out in the world, they seem okay. And, you know, I guess part of the reason is I'm only going to douchebag parties where someone could conceivably be on the podcast. I'm just like, hey, just come on the podcast.
Is that a jab at me?
No. Wait.
Are you talking about Kulop's annual holiday party that we were all lamenting not being able to go to?
No, that party's the good one.
Okay, good.
Thank you. I guess I'm saying
part of it, I don't know. I just all of my friendships have basically been like, come on the podcast sometime. And it's good and bad, I feel. It's good on the balance.
Yeah.
It's probably there's a world where fewer of my friendships should have a
recording device.
Yeah, that part is maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But like
it makes it interesting.
I had, you know, most of my relationships prior were like, you know, UCB related, and then it shifts to work related, and that's, you know, where I got really close with Tani, and then it's like, you know, we just recreate like high school. whatever, like, you know, like wherever that we can spend lots of time with one another. I think that's,
yeah.
I hope that's normal.
Maybe.
I think it's like a, yeah. And I think that as you get older and time is just of the essence, It's efficient. Mm-hmm. It's productive.
Yeah. You know?
I'm like, if you're going to sit at the table of my friendship, if you will, let's bring a few things. You know what I mean? Let's do more than just sit. Why don't you sit on, you know, this great podcast that I do? And why don't you over there, why don't you bake something? And why don't...
Yeah,
so it just seems like a multitasking... I don't know. I just feel very efficient, and I love productive, efficient friendships. I guess
that is true. Because the other thing, I guess, is now that I'm, like, older, it's very weird to say to another human being, can I just talk to you for 40? Can we just hang out for 45 minutes? and so that is essentially what I mean. If I ever meet you and I say you should come on the podcast, it's because it's like, it'd be weird to just be like, do you want to get coffee or something? Who wants to hang out? Who wants to be friends? It's a reason. It gives you an excuse to hang out.
Yes, I agree.
I agree. I also think that this year has made, well, maybe this year has made the let's hang out ask a little easier, depending on how you feel about like Zoom hangs and Zoom happy hours. But I've had a little bit of success with newer friendships being like, hey, would you like to have a drink over Zoom or chat about this? And I wouldn't have done that before. And also it would have been more pressure to do that in person before, to be like, do you want to just go to a park for 1 hour to chat? I don't know. How did you two meet?
We met through Time's Up Entertainment, and we still do organize with the Asian American Pacific Islander group. And a friendship forged through gatherings and activisms and Asianness.
The
translated into
the three big, the three big things.
Yeah, the three tenets. That's what the movie's about, by the way, Tenet. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Now I want to see it.
That actually, now the posters make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I was confused before.
Yeah, we've been low-key about it, but this is an exclusive.
Just why it had marketing. To be a theater experience, of course, you know.
Oh, I wanted to see that on a small screen. Bad.
Yeah.
I know. No one's going to... I saw you can rent out like an AMC or something for less money than you'd think. It was like, $200 for the, but you can't play like a first run movie. It's basically, it must be something.
She's got to play like Home Alone in there or something.
Truly. Actually, the one I saw was like, you could rent a theater for you and like up to 20 people, which doesn't sound super safe, but you can, but it's only like, it was only like $200 to watch like Elf. And I was like, there's a part of me that would maybe rent out a theater for myself.
Just alone.
Yeah, just like my kind of treat myself kind of thing. And it's like, I mean, I think I kind of want to just maybe. I'm not going to do it because that is crazy, but I truly was like, it's not that crazy.
It's not that crazy.
If you have a family, if you have kids, you should think about it.
I was going to say, because, you know, my kids are finally at the age where they can discover all of these great Christmas movies. And so we've been slowly indoctrinating them. We did, we've done like Annie and Home Alone and Christmas Story. But I wonder if I rented a theater at ages 6 and 8 and we come out of this quarantine at some point. And they go into movie theater and they go, what the fuck? What are all these people doing? I'm used to having a theater, you know? I wonder if that experience is kind of like, you know, sending a helicopter to
It's a bad precedent.
If you're used to private karaoke rooms, when you go to a place like Brass Monkey where there are other people,
great point.
What a shock. What a shock.
Yeah.
But
you're right. I'm glad that in my karaoke trajectory, I came from big, sweaty, suburban, full rooms of strangers and then was introduced to the private room. And I felt like I was fancy now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can't go back.
It is probably a bad thing to actually teach your kids. But if it were, for instance, not my kids, what I would say is, wouldn't it be hilarious to just let your two children just go buck wild in a movie theater with no 100%. Concert. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yell, talk, fucking throw anything. Who cares? This is our room for 2 hours.
Sit in every seat, dance.
Yeah. Fucking do whatever. I'm sure, again, it's only probably still not the safest idea, but like 2 months ago, it was very, like, very appealing to me. I was like, I think I want to do this.
It feels anyway. A little I Am Legend to me. Like, I feel like I'd come out of that movie theater to then the empty lobby and be real sad, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Immediately.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not a gun owner or a gun person, but if I were, it would be hard not to rent out a movie theater for myself and then shoot the screen.
Andrew.
I
wondered where you were going.
I just think that would be very hilarious.
Andrew. Well, he brought the jingle.
And so he wanted it. The jingle. And so, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, everyone.
His version.
So ooh, we're jingle jangling. We're jangling hard today.
Okay, wait. So we will get to voicemails, I promise you. But this is our first time with a guest, so this front section is going to be a little longer. Everybody just chill out for a second.
Yeah.
I need to get...
Plus, you have to factor all of my business, my tech business. You got to throw that away. It added time. It stayed.
We'll cut that out, and it'll be like... this will be 40 minutes shorter.
yeah.
Wait, I need to get... you guys' opinion on so at the time of recording, it is today, December 21st. It is the day of the Negro solstice, aka the conjunction where Jupiter and Saturn are the closest they've been together since 1623. They only have like something like 400 meters or something between them. That number might be insane, but it's some insane sliver, so that then when you look at them in the night sky, they appear to be like one bright giant star. Christians are calling it the Christmas star. Call it what you will, but I'm accepting the Negro solstice, and I want to know if you guys have been on Black Twitter at all, observing all of the memes and GIFs. Have you been processing any of the Black Twitter magic that's been going on?
Yes, I have. I've noticed it. I want to know more. It appears that everyone... all Black people are inhuman from the Marvel, and now they're going through the Terrigen Mist, is what my understanding is.
Powers are coming forth. So I can tell you and our listeners where the meme started, if that would be helpful.
Yes, please.
Because I feel like when I logged into it a bit late, maybe on Sunday, and was like, what is happening? So it was this very... kind of Hotep adjacent, somewhat innocuous tweet. The young woman has protected her account, so I won't give you her handle because we don't need to harass her for just making a not the wildest comment I've seen Black people make around things like this, so we don't need to pile on her. But she was responding to, I don't even know what she was responding to, but she literally wrote, this is the tweet: as Black people, genetically we are stronger and smarter than everyone else. We are more creative. And then this is where the tweet turns for me, because that front part, you could hear a lot of Black people saying shit like that. Like, oh, we're smarter, we're more creative. This is where it turns. On December 21st, our real DNA, all capitalized, will be unlocked, and majority will be able to do things that we thought were fiction. Learn who you are as a people. And then an emoji that I think is... look, if I'm wrong, if this is not me being problematic, this is the tweeter. I think she has put a blind person emoji, okay, and then wrote, they want to make us average. So I believe she's saying, if you're not, like, if you're blind, you won't be anymore. I don't want to read too much into it.
And when you're blind, someone, you're average. You're basic.
I guess. Or white people.
Maybe it's
want
a metaphor. It's a, you know, you're blind to, yeah. I don't know. That's all I got.
Okay. No. It's like Matrix. It's like the Matrix, right?
Yeah. Scales have been lifted, yes, type stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Tawny, tell us how you've changed.
How I've changed. Is I have, well, I joked that mixed people, we still get the powers, but we got to take shifts. Mm-hmm. So I got informed, I got a memo that I get mine between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. on Tuesdays. I just got to come right after, like, the Maoris, Drake, my bitch-ass cousin, and Pete Wentz.
Throwing in Pete Wentz was the real perfect.
Lucky cherry, yeah, right there.
It's a tough shift. It's my life's mission to remind people that his mom is black. It is my life's mission.
I didn't know.
I think I only knew from you. I think that's.
Oh, I think we all found out together with Kara Brown.
Oh, maybe. Okay, that makes sense.
Whoa,
that makes sense.
So the memes were flying, and I just wanted to touch on it was pretty funny watching it go from, you know, just black people being like, now I got superpowers, just from this one woman's random tweet, and then everyone, you know, tweeting gifs of themselves and, like, you know, all the different invisibility powers that they've acquired and stuff. And then you started to get what people affectionately call LLC Twitter, which are all the, like, kind of, again, Hotep adjacent black people who are like, you need to invest your money and stop messing around on the internet, and you need to build something. Oh. And literally the tweets start coming that are like, I wish y'all was quick to acquire assets and obtain life insurance like you're quick with these memes and jokes.
Wow.
literally black Twitter can come together to build hilarious memes about the Negro solstice, but they can't get a logo, get a business loan. it is so funny to me. It's perfect. It's a perfect example of like how good black people are at taking something so silly and making it so fun and having this big like online party. And then immediately how there's that section of our community that's still like, all this joking around and jucking and jiving is why the white man keeps us down. And it's like, can we just have fun, please?
I mean, the answer is no.
Make jokes and have businesses.
I mean, sometimes jokes can be businesses.
Oh, that's right. I mean, we're living it, guys.
That's right, y'all.
Boom.
Think on that. That's the galaxy brain response.
The galaxy brain. Mm-hmm. I've not heard that term.
That's where that's I guess that's more of a white Twitter meme. That's like the four different like there's one that's like just like you have, it's like a brain and you have one thought and then you have the second thought and then when your brain is all lit up with thoughts, it looks like a galaxy brain. Yeah.
All right.
You know what? Okay. Just it's that's the worst part of Twitter. Let's go back to a good part of Twitter. Black Twitter. Here's my favorite thing about it is I like when people make real wild claims, like, but with a specific date. I think specific date is really excellent.
Yes.
But also when she hedges her bets, it's like, well, the majority. It's like, well, you know, yes. Of course, there's definitely going to be a few who get no powers because your DNA actually is where it's supposed to be. So tough shit.
Right. I also like the memes that were just people posting themselves like looking flawless and being like, I've already had superpowers. It's like, okay, everybody gets to have a little fun today. I like it.
Yeah. It's a fun day. And I even like the scolds. You know what? Give it up for the scolds. Give it up for why didn't you make a logo in the time it took you to make a tweet?
And I hope
LLC Twitter is truly predatory. I saw a tweet that was like, watch LLC Twitter get mad at us for using our $600 stimulus check on frivolous things like rent and bills and not starting a t-shirt company.
I mean, I'm in love. I didn't know the term LLC. I mean, we like, yeah, I hear it for the first time. Like, it immediately makes sense. And yeah, I'm surprised that there isn't, there isn't like a link to like logo. Canva.com, like, you know, like just like start a business. Here's my Amazon link to the book that I self-published.
Mm-hmm.
Make it
more nakedly. If you're gonna scold people on the internet, make it nakedly self-serving. Be like pushing your fucking your own self-help book in the scold. Just make it, you know, that where's your hustle, LLC Twitter?
Yes.
No hustle there.
We're gonna do voicemails right after this, but I wanted to ask you guys, speaking of self-help books, have you discussed any recent self-help books on the pod, like any life affirming helpful books that you guys have enjoyed?
First of all, that just went, I know that I've caused a lot of trouble during this podcast, but the sound that you're hearing of low rumble is not my body. It's my dog Molly snoring.
Oh.
If that isn't apparent now, it will be when you receive my audio.
Cute. Good girl, Molly. Good
She's
girl.
A good girl. She's oh, asleep. Good girl. There's no stopping her. I can't do anything
about
it. And
the snoring does sound like a body It function. Does. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I'm mainly afraid you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, Tani, Suchin gifted me a book, and it's Untamed by
Glennon Doyle. Yes.
And so it's a memoir, but it's a memoir, you know, cut from the cloth of like, on that, I guess not Brene Brown, Elizabeth Gilbert-esque, and yes. Brene Brown put mm-hmm. together, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's about her life, but it's short essays, and she really kind of talks about how she feels a lot of women are tamed and caged, and they need to, you know, come through. Mm-hmm. Basically, that this is really
that's cool.
Making it just really distilling it. Why do you ask?
Oh, just because we mentioned self-help books, and I was like. I, in the back of my head, I was like, I think they talked about a book on there. Let's hear them talk about it again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
At first I was like, I don't know if I can listen to this lady because she's white. I'm so sorry, everyone. But that is a factor.
No. Our white listeners are the kind of people that like that stuff.
Cool.
This is our the degree kind of to stuff. Which our live show audience, the white people in our live audience like being yelled at is mildly distressing, but very real.
Okay, so just I'm looking at it. I'm like, a cool cover. Reese Witherspoon put it in her book club. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure about that. And then I find out that she's had multiple books. She's a Christian mommy blogger. I'm like, I'm not sure about this. Okay. And then you get into it a little bit more and you realize that she's had a monumental shift in her life where she divorced her husband and is now married to a woman who is a pro soccer player, and how that's, you know, how that has naturally shifted her life and her completely. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right,
that sounds
okay.
Fucking awesome. I
like reading a book by someone who's gone through like a big transition in their life. Yes. That sounds cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think, Suchin?
Yeah, and exactly. And it's sort of this. It's the book is. I haven't read her prior books because, like Hulop said, all those things aren't necessarily in my check boxes. But like you said, Tani, you know, this book was recommended to me by a few people, and it is sort of her reckoning and her awakening with herself and the way that she lived her life and her philosophy. And not only that, the life and the philosophy that she really sold a lot of people on, you know, she built an empire on it. And so for her to come to this conclusion and do it publicly and all of that, she had to sort of realize that all of those things, you know, that she built and all, you know, everything that she built, all those books, all those lectures, all those, you know, very successful things could sort of disappear overnight. And so there's a lot in there. I just really found it to be, I don't know. I mean, she has a way of writing where they're really short little essays and they're really funny and they just get right to the heart of it. And she talks about everything from her marriage to a man, why it didn't work, and then Christianity and parenting and, you know, cell phones. She just kind of runs the gamut. And I just really, I loved it. I really thought it was a great read.
That sounds fucking cool. Dope.
Yeah.
Do you recommend that people listen to your episode where you talk about it before reading the book, or vice versa?
Oh. I think this conversation is enough to check out the book if it was your vibe, if you're feeling it.
Cool.
Yeah. But, you know, look, I mean, if you're going to listen to another podcast, you're going to add another podcast to your queue.
Why else are they here?
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, go ahead, add to cart, rate and review. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I do want to stress the rate and review part because, especially for a new pod, that is massively important. It helps with like search engine optimization. It helps with just encouraging, just putting it in front of other people. Both of those things, ratings and reviewing and subscribing. Steal a friend's phone and subscribe from their phone. They won't even know what happened.
Your mom, your grandma.
That's it, though.
That's it.
No, just kidding. Also your aunties.
And just your everybody's aunties. Everybody's login info and just like help, you know, us out, I guess.
I can't remember which show I talked about it last week, but my dad still only has a pager. Which is why.
Yeah.
Which is why I
my, wait, like, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
my,
what?
My dad has a Yahoo email and Yahoo email that he does not check, that he only uses to play Go online, and a pager. So the only time I've talked to him is when he like pops up over my mom's shoulder during like a Zoom in lockdown, and so like, hi, and we're like, hey dad, how you doing? And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go play Go. And it was like, all right, man, good to see
wait,
you.
Wait, 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 wait. And the pager is there for emergencies? Like just in case? What's
so
the pager?
I'm not positive it works, but I know he still has it. I imagine it works. I don't know what he would do with it, but I think
find out is to dial boobies.
That's true. I guess I don't even know what the number is.
Maybe when you find out, say it on the pod so everyone can page your dad.
It must be in somewhere. God. All right. Yeah, I will find out if there's some reason that it might cost him a lot of money if he gets 1,000 pages, but if it doesn't, I will tell everyone his pager number. Because I don't think he'll care. Well, he might care, but he'll just turn it off if he cares. He doesn't. But, you know, he just never got. I genuinely think this pager was from his job in the 90s. And that is the only, like, telecommunication device. It's like landline and pager. That's it for old dad.
And does he listen to the podcast?
Oh, God, no.
No, decidedly no.
No, I've talked to shit. I've talked a lot of shit about him and his relatives, his direct relatives. So his side of the family is like the sort of like shithead conservative Asian side of the family. So like my dumbest aunt is married to a white guy who like for sure voted for Trump and shit like that. So that's his family. Not that my mom's family is like that much better, but they're better. They're definitely better.
But no, Andrew's parents are not among our listeners for the reasons that he has outlined.
Although they did come to see our live show in Michigan, and before the show happened, I was driving to the venue a little bit ahead of them, and my dad says, in Chinese, Andrew, what if nobody comes? And I was like,
oh, jeez.
I mean, it's possible. I don't, you know, we did sell enough tickets that I feel like somebody should come, but you know, it's possible. And then afterwards he said, that was funny. And that's it.
Man, Asian parenting, right?
He said,
right to the heart.
That was funny. And then he was very concerned that he had to move his car.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, yeah, but I gotta go. Got it. I do.
That's
have
the
range.
That's the full range of Asian parenting emotions. There you are. Mm-hmm. Fear, slight fear. Approval, and then more fear.
Oh, slight approval is surprise.
Immense surprise. Immense surprise that we were able to talk on stage.
And people like, came. And
yeah.
People came.
Like definitely surprise. The amount of surprise that for most people would be considered mean, but you know, it's just that.
And then back to fear for the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a full gamut.
Yep. There it is. That's an Asian hug.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll keep the convo going, but we'll listen to some voicemails. But yeah, we'll just keep chatting. And And we're back. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Kulop and Suchin. We're going to listen to some voicemails about racism. I know you guys have just been salivating for the racism. You're like, let's get rid of all this pleasant banter. Let's really hear about racism.
The shit.
Let's get into it.
Hello. I am from Compton, California, and I grew up with a lot of Mexican Americans. And we always had tamales for Christmas. I recently located to Atlanta, Georgia, and I have a craving for these tamales. I do work with a Mexican man. Should I ask him about tamales or where I can get tamales? I am black, and I don't want to be racist, but I do want these tamales. What should I do? Thank you.
Oh my god, I love her.
That's a very good delivery.
I have to pitch the episode title right now. I don't want to be racist, but I do want these tamales. I mean, if we come up with something better, that's fine, but that's a real front runner for me.
You
right
just
now.
Have we have to we simply must put it on the table and see who,
I mean,
see
it's hard to
beat.
I don't know if I don't have it. I don't have it unless there's something to come. I don't think it can be.
Yeah, we haven't listened to all the voicemails.
We'll see.
Asian hog could be a contender.
I think she can ask. Ask for where to get tamales. She's new to town.
Here's a question that this is what my main thing I was thinking when I was like looking at the voicemail is, do you think it's different because this woman is black? Like if it were a white woman asking, would you have the same reaction? Is maybe the more relevant question.
Well, always, but now.
Because it definitely
right?
feels
like,
different. Yeah.
Yeah, like even the way she, it's so weird and nuanced because the way she's like so charming on this voicemail, she seems so fun. Yes. She seems like someone, and we're inferring a lot because we don't know this person, but they seem like someone who, if they came up to you and asked where something that they perceive you might know about is based on your race or whatever, you may not feel offended just because of their approach.
Yes.
Whereas the same question, this is why this show gets tricky, because then when we say, go ask the tamale, then we get a white listener who does the same steps, but their approach is different. And they're going up to their Mexican coworker being like, where can I get good enchiladas? And they're like, bitch, what are you talking about? I worry. But I'm with you guys. I feel like she should be able to ask. It's Christmas time. It's tamale time.
If she asked me and I didn't know, I would help her find. Like like her delivery was like, let me help you. I'll help you. Let's figure this out together. Like that's how cool. Like that. I like this lady.
Her delivery is celebratory. Like it's not. There's a real nostalgia to it. A real connection to it. It's not. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels genuine, and there's also a self-awareness in that you hear. It's like you can already hear her saying, like, listen, this is where I grew up. I know this may, you know, and that kind of self-awareness and that celebratoriness, I think, is what we're all picking up on. So it feels very friendly and it feels very respectful.
Versus something like I'm an interesting person and not racist because I've eaten tamales before. And by asking for this, I'm connecting with you through food and also because I know like it's void of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is sort of a catch-22 because I think what I'm about to say is also not going to be correct, but it gets close to by virtue of asking. By virtue of knowing that it might be racist, you're much closer to the it's okay side of things. Not entirely, because there's certainly a world where it's like, I know this is racist, but... And then you do the microaggression. I don't want to excuse that, but there is a world where it's like, if you asked, you're probably fine. And that's the problem, is like the people who need to hear it the most don't have the wherewithal to even interrogate their shit that far.
Yeah. I guess I'm just like wondering. Yeah, there is no like blanket like, yes, this is fine. No, it's not. It's all about the approach, right? It's all about the vibe that they have with their coworker.
That's true. Is this complicating it and unnecessary to go on Yelp?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I know.
It's like, wait,
yeah.
Why can't you go? That was where it was gonna go, Kulop. I was like,
and then look, and I even get it. Like, and then you see what the 1 through 3 is, and then you go to your coworker and go, like, is this true?
Yeah.
Is this good? Hey, man, I know you're gonna know. Is this good? Like, it can get weird real fast.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
But again, that's me putting a creep energy on it.
That is a weird thing that I have experienced a lot, which is like people will ask me about Chinese places. And I have, I think, like a better than maybe your average person in Los Angeles sense of some places that are great. But I certainly don't think I have a definitive, like, I don't fucking know everything. That pressure of having to know. And then this is the worst part about me, and this is a real confession. In my absolute heart of hearts, when I don't know, the person that I personally know best who knows most about Chinese shit in Los Angeles is a white dude. And so I end up asking him a lot.
And see, and that is intersectionality right there.
I truly, was going to say.
Truly some shameful shit. But them's the facts. He's never steered me wrong.
Hey.
I'm not going to say who it is.
I have some guesses.
It's your source.
Yeah, it's your source for good Chinese food. You got to keep a secret. I wonder, I think it's funny that if this was a white person calling in, I bet the tone of our whole conversation around it would be, not that we'd be like judging them harder, but we might be a little more like cautious. We might be like, okay, you're going to want to be careful. Whereas coupled with her tone, the celebratory nature, like Suchin brought up, the fact that she's like, I'm a black person from Compton. We automatically are like giving her a little bit of license.
Yeah. Yep.
Probably because we're assuming that her Mexican coworker is giving her that little bit of, which is a big assumption. But, you know, to imagine that, I don't know, if another person of color comes up to me and asks me something that's borderline wild, I'm going to be less annoyed. That's all it boils down to, even if they're doing the same behavior, which is not fair, but nobody's perfect.
Well, there's other things that aren't fair as well that we're going to factor in.
That's a great point.
It's a collective you know? Whole. You know, you got to look at the cornucopia, the basket. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed.
This is a space for white pain.
And there's the jingle. And you have brought the jingle again.
I may have jingled a little too hard today because shit is going deeply off the rails. But yeah, I think here's my other thing that I think is a weird thing that has cropped up in internet times, which is like, there's this obsession with like the best of the foods. Like, oh, I gotta go to the best, most authentic place. Because like before everyone got really, and it's weird because I would have also thought the internet could solve that problem. Like, you don't actually need to ask any coworker, in my opinion, because you can just, you know, Yelp this shit. But then you have to like cross-reference Yelp and like figure out the inside source that beats Yelp now. And it's like, y'all, I'm pretty also sure. That's the thing. Like, whenever people are like, what's the actual best like soup dumplings? And it's like, I promise you, you can't tell the difference between the absolute best and the medium best.
I was just going to say that literally about like things like that, like soup dumplings that got really popular in LA specifically. Like, I'm black. I don't know the best. Just give me some good soup dumplings. Give me some fine ones. And I'm going to be like, these are great.
Yeah. The absolute medium is fucking wonderful. So like,
and let me tell you what, in Atlanta, what'd you say, Suchin?
I said that was 2020 summed up. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. It's good enough. But go on, Tani.
I was just going to say, in Atlanta, you're going to get some very medium, some well medium tamales, and that's it. And you're going to be fine with it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Have a great time.
Wonderful. all right. Should we do the other voicemail? Let's do this shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Hey guys, love the show. I am a late 20s Hispanic woman, and I'm married to a very white guy. Love him. He's super forward thinking, but his parents are not. Turns out recently they started ranting at me for my posts on social media, calling out people for being racist. And among the things that his mom said, she called me Mexican. I'm not. And then she said that she's allowed to have these sorts of views because her family was persecuted because she, living in Tennessee, was bused into black neighborhoods to go to school. And she also stated that her family came from Scottish slaves. So this is a lot. I guess I'm just wondering, like, does this even have any sort of legitimacy? I mean, I tried looking up the Scottish slaves. Don't know if it's a real thing. But anyways, I guess all this, it's a lot. But thanks, guys. Hopefully you guys can answer this.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. Your brother-in-law's racist.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Let's
your brother-in-law's
come back
racist.
To yelping tamales.
Oh. This is wow.
Yeah.
For her to call her Mexican and she's not is just beyond the pale.
I have so many questions. Yeah. Where is your husband right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does he think about this?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I guess not the best sign that she's calling in. And yeah, this is one of those like, hey, you should really talk to your husband about this because that's going to determine a lot about how possibly your entire life goes after you have that discussion.
Because you don't have kids?
Yes.
Are they going to call your kids Mexican?
Mm. Well, they're half Mexican.
Yeah.
Half Mexican. This woman's like, there is no one here who is Mexican. Suchin. That was like the point in the call that made me kind of like tune out the rest of it. Because I'm kind of like, if this woman who is your family can't get right what you are, I don't. Like, there's nothing else to talk to her about.
Yeah.
She doesn't know your background. She has delusions about her background. I mean, there's no logic or rationality. Like, there's no coming. Like, can we meet in the middle with this woman?
Right.
But
I hope
family.
She lets that go. Let that part. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's family. And yeah, I mean, in-laws are... So yeah. It's a tricky one, but I think I depending on how often these comments are and all of that, I think if you have to, you know, kind of be around the other side of the family, you have to just put such like clear border lines. Like these are the three things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about your plants. We're going to talk about your new curtains. And we're going to talk about your car. Anything else outside of that, I'm removing myself from the situation. Like, and that's, you just have to be straight up, and your husband has to be sitting right next to you. You know, reinforcing that. Period.
Yeah.
There's
having
like
your
no,
back.
Not even a. He like should be silent tactic. The entire time that you tell him exactly how it will go down. Like, there's no feedback. There's no conversation.
There's
you know,
no discussion.
What I mean? There's no discussion. Yeah. There's no. It's just this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
And I
that's,
like that tactic. Yeah. I haven't heard that like laid out so clearly like that before, but that I bet could help a lot of our listeners who call in with these kind of, we get similar calls like this a lot, depressingly, family members who they can't communicate with about anything real.
No.
And so I guess it's like, well, if you're not going to cut them off and not see them or talk to them,
you're,
decide the four things you get to talk about. You can talk
you
about
it,
Christmas ornaments,
exactly.
The farmer's market.
That's right.
Maybe your grandchildren, if that's a safe space for you. And, you know, James Corden.
Yep.
And that's all you get.
And you they limit it.
Yep. Yeah. And they try to veer it into the election.
Nope.
You go, James Corden was in Prom. That was a movie.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yes, you just
every time.
Steer them right back.
And you can
you're
get
like,
up
oh,
and leave.
Your agapanthas look great.
Yeah. And then you just get up and leave. That's what it's like training. You have to train people to behave around you if they're going to act like animals. That's I don't know. To me,
that's such a great way of putting it. And it's also right. Like actually setting the boundary, letting them know what the boundary is, and actually, yeah, because I did the aggressive aggressive half measure of this, which is like I just looked my probably way too late, like looked my racist uncle in the eye, and it's like, we are not talking about that. And he was like, oh, and I was like, no, we're not doing this. And then I also just then pretty much stopped talking to him. So, but you know, it's halfway there.
Yeah, I had this conversation with my dad, which is different because let's be real, mm-hmm. in-laws are different. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he doesn't speak any English. He's a Korean immigrant. And we were talking about just very briefly. And I just asked the question, what does your church think about this election? I was just curious. And he said some things. And I was shaking. I had pulled over. And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, you know, I said my piece and I said, there is not a discussion.
Yeah.
You will not have that opinion in my home around my kids because it's dangerous and people are dying. And he may not have got what I was saying, but he understood that he was never to speak that way again in anywhere around the property of my family or my home. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't know, you know, what his, you know, beliefs are. If he's not a hardline and he's not a political guy, but I think it was just a lot of misinformation and things he was parroting from his friends. And so I think it was he thought it was kind of harmless and he hadn't given it much thought. So I hope that he's taken that upon himself to think about that for a minute. Yeah. But I think it, you know, it's not our job to, right?
Yeah,
especially with some. Yeah. No, it's not our job to undo all that. To look up Scottish fucking history. That's not my job. Yes, you know, I got enough jobs.
I left my body at that point. I was like, no,
that's not my job.
But think of the irony of this Latinx woman who is continually misidentified by her family member, having also the kindness of heart to look up the bullshit that the woman who won't even honor what she is and be like, well, let me see if there's any validity to this Scottish slavery. Like,
yeah. I mean,
you don't have to do all this work.
No. Part of me that's like, when someone is that racist and using those old racist tactics, it's like, you really... However, as someone who has... this was actually a more popular question on the Yo, Is This Racist blog. Because from time to time, these, like, I assume racist Europeans would be like, well, you know, the Irish were enslaved as well. There's a lot more Irish were enslaved as well. And that one is so wild to me because it's like they were enslaved by the fucking English. If you get enslaved by other white people, that doesn't mean you were enslaved for your race, you idiots. Like, it was just this weird thing where they think it's this gotcha. And it's like, okay, but who were you enslaved by? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, different kind of slave. Okay. Well, seems like your point is pretty dumb then, doesn't it? It's just like,
I guess on Christmas Day, when you talk to your mother-in-law, just start the conversation with, who were you enslaved by?
Yeah.
That'll go over well.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you know, it's obviously don't do that, but it is like,
let's go around the table.
Who got enslaved? You know?
And then also, but, like, not just, like, people, like, ideas. What ideas are you enslaved by?
Yeah, exactly. What ideas are you a slave to in this world?
Yeah, yeah, like, low calorie. I mean, right, guys? Uh-huh. Sugar-free.
Yep.
Everything just the same, by the way. Everything is the same level.
It's all equal.
Yep.
It's all equal.
All of our struggle
and
is the same.
And just start from there.
You getting bussed into that black neighborhood must have been so hard, almost as hard as it was for them to watch you get bussed right back out into your white home. Good Lord.
I forgot.
What a mess.
That.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
But Suchin, thanks for this is a rare instance where someone gave actual good advice.
Practical
on our show,
advice.
Yeah, we like that.
I think we'll simply have to cherish that for a Christmas miracle. That's not how we usually roll.
Suchin, you are our Christmas star.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I brought the jingle. Yes. Did I bring the jingle?
Yes, you brought the jingle.
You brought the actual jingle.
You brought the Christmas star. I feel my powers growing stronger from being around you. I'm almost up to
That's like a two-thirds.
Okay, Tana, is that two-thirds power?
Yes, so everyone watch out. All of my paper will be collated without me having to touch it. Thank you guys so much for being our first guests. I can't think of a better holiday treat than having both of y'all on here. We talked to the people about Add to Cart. They can find it in all the podcast places. They can subscribe to it. They can force their friends to subscribe to it. Where else do you want to be found, or what do you want to tell people?
The quick byline, which of course is the podcast, is about what we buy and what we buy into and what that says about us. But really, it's just two pals talking about just anything, really.
Yeah.
And it's generally it's just us, but on occasion we're gonna have guests, so we'd love for you guys to come on if you
we'd love to.
Would do us the honor, as Andrew said earlier.
We'd love to do it. Love to be on a podcast. Also love to be on a less depressing podcast. So any opportunity. Can't stress enough.
Okay, so Suchin, I don't know if I told you this, but Tani is the one who got me into Korean 10-step skincare.
Oh,
She knows a lot about a lot of things, to be honest. I was going to say skincare, but really, Tani has deep knowledge in travel, in recipes.
I fence off a section of my brain for a period of time. I fill it with an impossible number of details about that thing, far more than any one person could ever want to hear. And then when that's run its course, I rent the space out to another topic. So it's kind of like a rotating, it's like an artist commune full of slightly useless information depending on who you are.
I love it. Well, before you rent it out, come on Add to Cart, and then we can just suck all that information out and then let everybody know where to get all the good travel tips and the skincare products.
And Andrew, you bring a love of grilled meats, of
I just had a physical, so some of that does have to change, but
last Friday I had one too, and there's a reckoning that is happening for this body as well.
The doctor was like, "Oh, a week." Oh, it's like, well, the number of times I have grilled meat, I need to have, I guess, at most a quarter of what I do now. There's like, well, I prefer if you'd said a month is what was the second half of that after inquiring about my diet. But I believe even that is a little high. Anyway, your boy eats too much beef. We'll put it like that.
Get it in.
Well, get it in all you can. That might be a contender for
that's the pretty good. That too. Is pretty good.
Your boy eats too much beef. We'll figure
anyway.
It out.
It's got to stop.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I know we went a little long, but I think it was
good. We have to do our outro really quick. Yosis Racist, Andrew T, Trani Newman, 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE. Okay, that's it.
Also, please subscribe to our premium shows on our subscription site that we built our damn selves. So if you're familiar with something like Patreon, it's just like that, except we built it because we have to be extra. It's called suboptimalpods.com. You can get our additional weekly show, Yo Can We Live, which is just a celebration show. No racism is involved, we hope. and then we do a bunch of limited series pods. And since this is right before the Christmas holiday, if you don't have a gift for somebody, you can do a 4-month gift bundle of the Suboptimal bundle and get all that stuff I just talked about. And you can give it to a friend with your late ass. So go to suboptimalpods.com and get somebody a gift. Is that it?
That was so good.
We did it.
So good.
Most importantly, though, thank you again, Cool Up and Suchin, for joining us, for traveling all the way to our studio where no one's wearing a mask and everyone's just breathing and coughing on each other.
Andrew,
we appreciate
don't
it.
Even What's joke. That?
What?
People
What's
are going
happening?
To at us about this. Everyone's in their homes. It's over Zoom. Okay. We love you guys. Thank
but
you.
But he does oddly have a gun and it's pointing it willy-nilly around.
Empty theater, though. It's empty, guys. Just want to be very clear. An empty theater.
Yeah. Shooting Tenet.
I just want to do it one time. All right. That's it.
All right.
That's
a joke. Bye.
Bye.